Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Nick did it. Muted your mic.
Mute. Sorry, I'm reading. I'm literally reading Discord as we go, because I'm trying to be a Discord guy. And hey, I'm Nick Gambarian. How are you?
Hey, I'm unmuted Mike Forrester. It's lovely to see you guys. Thanks a lot, Nick. We appreciate that for being on Discord because, you know, after an episode like this, I feel like we have to go to Discord and see the rundown of what everyone caught and what everyone wants to talk about, which is everything about this episode.
And I'm Ryan Key.
Just four boomers watching Ahsoka.
Do you know that the Discord calls us being late every week? They call it Rockstar time. So I don't know if we should just be on time or we should just be lenient and use the term Rockstar time.
Guns N' Roses show.
I mean, outside of this, I've been streaming on Twitch for, when did I start? 2021. So 3 years. And I've never once started a stream on time. Not one time. Hundreds of streams, never once on time.
We're on yellow card time, baby.
Hey, I'll tell you this. We're way more on time going on stage than we are this.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Not showing up to rehearsal on time. Definitely not doing that.
Yeah.
This is the shit people talk about at working at home, like post-pandemic work at home. Like you're just sort of like, well, I mean,
we'll get there.
For example, I am now sitting in at my kitchen table. I'm in my dining room at the table because
looks
I don't
though.
Have a workspace right now. You know what? I appreciate that, man. Yeah. But like when I have a workspace, not that that makes me on time, but in my head, I'm like, I'm going to be on time because I'm going to go in the place where I work.
Right.
This is just like, it just, no way, you know?
No way, Jose.
The kitchen's right there. There's snacks and wine.
Have you had any? Did you drink wine
Different
tonight
vibe.
While you were watching this?
Never.
Ah, yes.
You should have drank it out of a Rubbermaid, a ribbed cup, a white one, available on eBay.
It's a good call.
I'll make sure I have that on deck next week.
Are you following this Parts of Star Wars account?
A Sweet Saver. Yeah, Sweet Saver from 1964.
So much Tupperware, so much vintage Rubbermaid, cups, jugs.
Which,
sets.
By the way, I'm going to also say, if you want to go back and buy the original, like, Sweet Saver 760 or whatever the it was called, I'm not going to say maybe we would endorse that because you're drinking out of, like, 50-year-old plastic at this point. You know, maybe.
It's probably not the best thing.
I don't know. Maybe.
I bet you they made plastic way better back then.
Just put it in the microwave. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Make plastic great again.
You just need to reheat the plastic to reactivate it.
Yeah. Rearrange the molecules of the plastic so it heats up faster and it's totally safe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you notice your liquid tasting different, then you know you've done it right.
It's vintage flavored.
Yeah, I like it.
Who do we know who has a vacuum former? A big industrial one. Isn't it?
A couple of people.
Nino probably has one, right?
Yep.
Don't want to.
Can someone please, I know it's tougher with cups and things, but can we just like, can we reproduce some of these old like Tupperware things and stuff? Can we get these?
So we get new plastic.
Yeah.
Safer than old plastic.
It is. Like,
okay.
Legitimately. Anyway, this is all pointless. we watched Ahsoka, episode 3, part 3, Time to Fly. This is our immediate reaction. Half pod, Full pod. It's a full podcast. Whatever.
A hod.
We're going to do another one tomorrow. We're trying to give everyone everything that they want and also give ourselves, you know, like a better experience, because doing it the day of and doing the whole thing all at once where it's, you know, there's this giant page of notes and then, you know, this hour and a half long thing, it's different than like coming straight from watching it, giving you our literal immediate reactions, and then tomorrow giving you a deep dive like the Den of Antiquities thing and some other stuff like that. So we're going to split it up and I think it's going to be fun.
I like it.
Anyone else?
I'm having a blast.
We have the best. We're having the times of our lives. So let's just go straight into it. We're not going to do stolen plans today. We'll do that tomorrow. How about Mike? First impressions on this episode. Time to fly.
Well, I try to stay as leak-free as I can. I'm very bad at it, though, right? So
you get your prostate checked?
That is a hilarious statement, Mike. That is the funniest thing you've ever said.
Well,
when I'm on the Reddit spoiler forums, I really tried to not read anything.
I'm very weak, okay? I do know that. I do know that I'm like, oh, it's there, and I shouldn't click it. But what if I didn't click it? What would I miss? And then I find out that I spoiled the episode for myself. Mark the intern, our favorite intern who writes most of the very average credit lines, actually leaked the promo that was supposed to go out tomorrow to remind people to watch the episode, leaked it today on accident. Watched that. I had an idea of what was going to happen in this episode. But regardless, it's still absolutely crushed. I thought I was sitting here being like, I watched it with a couple friends and we were like, is this like a 15-minute dogfight? This is amazing.
Dude, a dogfight that was like fully classic World War II footage inspired,
like
just like George's old edits.
Oh my gosh, like the first like Shin's ship comes on, which is like almost has like that like kind of vintage Grievous old Cadillac style with the big bodies, mm-hmm. and the heavy fuselage and everything, and Shin's is like painted a very specific color, like almost like a P-51 Mustang, right, Ryan? Correct me on that, fellow World War II.
It had like, they all had the big like grill on the front of them with that sort of muscle car look to them. It was so absolutely awesome.
So, like, they show up, and I'm like, all right, well, I already love these designs of these ships. And I know that, like, that I've actually seen that Lego. I think that Lego is already out, if any other people are into Star Wars. But I think that Lego was already out or leaked or said that it was coming. I saw that it was coming. So I kind of had an idea of what Shin's ship looked like already, but I loved it. This is about the episode, right? So the Pergil showing up. I didn't realize that people didn't see the Pergil up above Cetos, above Balin's head last week.
Yeah.
You guys missed that or you saw that?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that and other people were like, wait, what?
I missed it. I saw them in the sort of, you know, the hologram.
Same.
Okay. The map that was coming up, but I didn't see him in the sky.
So when he does that slow pan up and he looks up in the sky, you can see one of the Pergil start moving through the clouds.
Yep.
So regardless, that kind of set up for what we saw. Is it just me or have they massively scaled up the Pergil in the show?
It's hard to tell.
Humongous.
Are we thinking that just the fact that they, now that you mentioned that, and I did miss that last week, that they were already there, you know, in the sky, but are they sort of, this system is clearly a jumping off point for them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seems like it.
Now that we've established this week, which we can talk about a little bit, about the intergalactic hyperspace lanes that apparently go back millennia to like Old Republic, it seems they had knowledge of this highway to other galaxies. So, it seems like they're native in some way, if that's the right word, to this system.
Sure.
Indigenous.
Indigenous peoples to this system. Because why would they be like flying around in the, you know, in the clouds there for other
reasons? That's the on-ramp. The on-ramp.
They just sort of, go back and forth between whatever, wherever we're hopefully going to go and find out what's on the other side.
We remember that episode of Rebels when they were getting kind of like filled up on the, oh, Nick has a thing. Yes, yes.
No, you answered a question like 3 minutes ago. I was going to answer it. Did they scale them up? If you watch like the last scene in Rebels, there's like two size Pergils. There's like small and large ones you watch in the last scene of Rebels. So they're probably even bigger now, but there are at least two sizes in Rebels.
Okay. Baby ones, adult ones?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Maybe.
I like it.
Maybe, maybe not.
Regardless, they're humongous. I thought that was, they blew the CGI budget for sure. I hope the rest of the series looks as good as this. But I mean, Jason Syndulla, Mon Mothma, there was, even though there was a short runtime on this, there was so much to love in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like Ahsoka's spacesuit, dude, like,
yeah.
If you're not loving this as a Clone Wars fan, I don't know what you're watching. Let me just put it that way.
That was a big question for me in the trailer, because there is this, in the final trailer, there is a picture of her from this episode in that blue uniform, and it looked like a New Republic uniform or something. You know, it's like that same blue.
Her pauldron has a Republic symbol on it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it's her OG suit from when they
went. Been in the ship, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm like, that was amazing. And it's got her, like, her side, what do we call those? Like, the hip plates? Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Hip armor? I don't know.
Yeah, but it was very, like...
The stuff that like, hangs on the belt?
Yes.
Those kind of things?
Yeah. I have to go back and look and see what their original spacesuit was from Clone Wars, because I'm like, this is incredible. God, it's tailored so well to her everything. Like, her Leku.
Her Leku, like all her...
Yeah.
Who's that tailor?
That was quick. I feel like she had to go in there and be like, put this one in here. This one goes in here.
Right. Vacuumize it. Pull all...
Dude, okay. Let me go ahead and say it right now, and we can go deeper in the den, but for anyone who's like, oh, they just got one that just fits over, like, every spacesuit, every, like, flight suit is custom tailored to a person's body.
They don't just go to Walmart and buy them?
Yeah, they don't just take them off the damn shelf. It's zero G. There's no air. They have to do some work.
I got mine on Amazon. It just showed up. I'm so pumped.
Well, get out there, start swinging lightsabers. Ryan Key, what did you think of this episode?
I'm afraid to talk right now because I feel like everything I say is going to take away from anything the two of you want to say.
Oh, we'll just be like, yeah, we'll just do that.
So I think the overarching sort of like theme to it that I was super pumped on was this was just an episode of Rebels.
Fair.
It was so fast paced. Mm. There was so much combat in space, the dogfight, Sabine fixing the ship, which was like, we talked about how Rebels is confined to that 24 minute episode time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so much of it did feel unrealistic. Didn't take away from how amazing the story was, but that they had to move the show along so fast. So it was like the David Cross, like, how are they going to get out of this bucket of syrup, you know, bit? Like, that was every week, and then they figured it out in 20 minutes. So, like, she's fixing the ship all frantically after it being completely disabled, you know? That was such an animation come to live action bit and moment, I think, where there was like no, she's just like turning knobs, you know? There was one point where she reaches up and turns these, she's like, just keep working. And Sabine just turns these two little knobs that have no buttons or no, you know, what do they do?
Yeah, she's on Smuggler's Run.
That was the air condition. She turned the air condition up.
So yeah, so I loved it was getting hot in there. I loved how much it felt like an episode of Rebels. That would be my kind of sweeping statement about how I felt about it. Little things that, you know, I found myself so randomly fixated on their headsets, right? So there was straight up OG Falcon headset and a straight up OG Jedi, you know, Republic headset.
The gold ones and the white ones.
Fight. Yes.
Yeah.
And I looked it up after the show. I looked up the Millennium Falcon headsets, and it's exactly what Sabine was wearing. You know, all the throwback kind of things that were in the this was like Force Awakens level fan service going on in this episode.
Yeah.
The blast shield, the dogfight, like yelling back and forth at each other while she's missing all her shots, you know, don't get cocky. You know, that whole vibe was there. I feel this was such a successful blend of old and new. I think maybe on a level we haven't really seen since we saw The Force Awakens in theaters in 2015. I loved it, dude. I feel like this episode was just so in line with this is season 5 of Rebels. Yeah. And I'm not mad about it. You know, cutting spaceships apart with lightsabers in space. I mean, it's
amazing.
It was pure joy. All 35 minutes of it was pure Star Wars, just childhood. I looked at my wife at Laura and I said, she goes, I said, I like in the middle of it at some point, I was like, you know, yes or something. Right. And she goes,
audible gasp.
Calm down, babe. She's like, calm down, babe. And I'm like, I'm sorry. There's just a 10-year-old kid in me right now that is alive and well in the living room. Like, I'm just loving this.
Was anyone else reacting in the same way, seeing their bingo card light up as the thing went? As soon as she said Jason Syndulla,
yeah,
and said, "Oh yeah, he's on board," I was like,
in my head, I was like, "I think our bingo cards might say Jason Syndulla appears." So I was like, "Does that count?" And then a minute later, he was there.
Nick, how about you?
I loved it. Fully on board with what you guys are saying. That it's, I mean, this was a Rebels episode. I don't know what came first, like ILM getting like space dogfights up to par for television, or Filoni taking over because his dogfights are great in Rebels. Like the way he films them in Rebels, or shoots them in Rebels, whatever you want to call it, they look like original trilogy. You know, it looks like a fixed camera and like an A-wing like blowing up, you know, even though it's animated. It's a stylistic choice. So, basically a majority of this episode was in space, and it was... You kind of miss that in The Mandalorian because it's such a like Western, and yes, he's in a ship, but I don't remember having majority of episodes in space. So I loved it. I thought, even though it was, you know, it was very concise, but it moved the plot forward. It's just that if we're getting like a 4, 5, 6 hour movie right now, that was a scene, you know, like, so it's if you think of it that way, it's less of a, man, this was an episode that needed to be longer. That was just an important dogfight scene. That was the Millennium Falcon getting chased by a Star Destroyer or TIE fighters. You know, like that's all it was for 20 something minutes. So I loved it. It was great. Definitely a lot of eye candy as far as, you know, Ahsoka's spacesuit was great. Her just floating in space being, I forget what she said. It was kind of like a Marvel moment. She's like, all right, now come get me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad, all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
So all the callbacks, like, shout out to Filoni for being the best fan film director of all time. It was like so obviously for the fans and for him as a fan, but not in a cheesy, cheap way. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being happy versus someone who is on the other end. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, I don't know, but everything about it was so quintessentially Star Wars. Like you're saying, the dogfights, there's one shot where two of those fighters come in, and it looked exactly, almost like they even like tweaked the frame rate or something,
right,
to make it look exactly like a World War II dogfight film, like just like the stuff that George used I mentioned earlier. And Nick, you're saying that it's just like a scene from a film. It's just like Luke doing lightsaber training with the remote, and then beep beep beep. What's that? We have to go get in a dogfight.
Yeah,
like it's that part of a film. Speaking of the training, dude, like, it's what we've all wanted, you know, what we...
How am I supposed to fight?
Dude, I mean, the callbacks, yeah, verbatim. I can't even see how am I supposed to fight. But the depth that she goes into with that training is the stuff that we've been waiting for forever. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, the prequels did training stuff, but in a different way, you know, and there's plenty of stuff in animation, but, like, this had, again, because of the pacing and everything, just had the depth... like the emotional depth and the, like the character building and story depth and world building depth that we haven't gotten since, I don't know, The Empire Strikes Back, since Dagobah, right? You know, like the way she talked about the Force. Since... like there's that stuff in The Last Jedi, which is great, but it's like a whole different take on what the Force is. So this gives us like both. There's like her conception of the Force versus what the Jedi taught, but with legit like Neo and Morpheus Matrix training, you know?
It's probably the first time that it's stated too, something you've said, like, you know, Han Solo ever has the Force, and maybe that makes him a better pilot. You know, it's just the Force flows through everyone, and it's kind of being stated and shown right now, almost in like a broad brushstroke, maybe for the future of Star Wars, that like, hey, everyone has it. You need some talent. You need focus.
Yeah.
And you need to ignore Huang.
Well, you have to be able to wield it. Right. I mean, there is that. And I don't think I want that to change. I definitely don't want it to be like, look, everybody can do it. In my mind, that would cheapen in some way, like who Ahsoka is, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's everyone will be wielding it.
But I was going to say that I think that the training and the explanation that she's giving while she's training her, again, hammers home what a continuation of Rebels this is. Because when you started watching Rebels, you're thinking this is going to be a show about Rebel Alliance and this band of rebels that, you know, come from nothing to rise up against the Empire, when really the whole show is about the origins and the meaning of the Force. By the end of season four, that's all you're focused on is Ezra's journey and his growth in the Force. So I think the fact that they're leaning into that so hard and using Sabine as like a plot point to continue to explain the meaning and definition of the Force is huge, no matter what her ability to use it ends up being, you know, whether she's ever actually able to move the cup or not. It's a way for him to continue to tell the story of what the Force actually means.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think they will, he and whoever else is writing will thread the needle to give the additional richness of that story and the mythology without blowing it. And like you're saying, cheapening it to a point where like anybody can use it.
I don't think they're going to do
that. Anyone can drag a cup. Anyone can, you know.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that that was the point of the line in this episode when she said talent is a factor or whatever the line was. She used the word talent.
Yeah.
This is all Broom Boy's prequel. This is all leading up to Broom Boy.
Makes sense. I knew people love that movie.
Where is Broom Boy?
But I think something else that's interesting too, like we also have to figure out for Mandalorian season 3, we see the Darksaber, this like mythical weapon that we know all its backstory. It gets crushed by Moff Gideon at the end. It will be interesting to see if they reference Sabine's training with it from Kanan, because now Jason coming in and going, I want to be a Jedi. I was like,
so sweet.
Oh,
yes.
Kid, I hope your mom told you everything.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, right. You got that good blood, kid. But I think there's something interesting about like how they're going to explain this to people who didn't watch Rebels, who don't know the story of Sabine training with Kanan Jarrus, Jason's father, Hera's husband, all of this stuff, without needing to totally go back and over explain it to people who, as Rebels fans who watched it, are going to be like, I wish, like, we already knew all this, like, push the story forward. So I think it's, so far they've absolutely knocked this show out of the park for giving enough for people to be curious about without going back and overly explaining again. I'm very curious if next episode is going to be a flashback episode. I think I have a feeling Anakin is going to show up here very soon. But regardless, we have a lot. Adam, you're going to cut the trailer of what's still remaining, and I think we have the fight in the forest with Sabine and Shin again. I think that's what's left from the trailer. But other than that,
and Baylan and Ahsoka in the
star map. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So next week, I think, is about a 45-minute episode. Are we blind pretty much besides those two scenes?
There's very little left.
Which is on par. I know we say it like halfway through every series. The trailer's usually the first half of, you know, the first four episodes of these shows.
Okay. It's six parts, right?
Eight. Yeah.
Eight
and 7 weeks.
Dude, yeah, 7 weeks. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So the final four episodes will be pretty much blind, probably, because you would.
Yeah.
Straight
up. They're already in the forest, and Baylan is out.
Thrawn's in the trailer, so. Maybe that's next week. I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
I did feel, I'm so happy I did a Rebels rewatch, because I wouldn't have remembered this, but I felt like the way Ahsoka was pushing Sabine and a lot of stuff she said in this episode was similar to Kanan teaching Ezra, where it was just like, kind of being like, we're going again, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or Anakin and Ahsoka in Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
Go mm-hmm. again.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. God, that rewatch was essential for me.
This episode, I will say, when I was watching the scene with Hera and the senators, I did, Mike, this is to your point about how they've done a good job of giving you enough to make you curious, you know, right. but not needing to over-explain. I don't disagree with that, but I would just play devil's advocate that in that scene and commend Filoni and the team at committing to this show the way they have. She's just standing there. They're just having a conversation about Ezra Bridger. They say his name like three times. There's nothing to give any casual viewer any frame of reference as to who Ezra Bridger is. It, you know what I mean? There's no, if you haven't seen or read anything, if you go into this show, just, I like Star Wars and maybe I saw some Clone Wars and I know who Ahsoka is. In that scene, they were like just talking about Ezra Bridger as if he's part of the plot line and you're supposed to know who he is.
Yeah.
And I, obviously that doesn't bum me out because I know who he is.
Sure.
Doesn't seem like anyone is bummed out. So yeah. I think you're also right, Mike. Everybody seems to be universally loving this show, which is, you know, the rarity that was the first season of The Mandalorian and Andor in the, you know, present day Star Wars content. But I think it's just something to be said for Filoni going, you know what? I don't care. This is the show I've wanted to make since I started animating Rebels. I always had a vision for this turning into live action and playing a part of the bigger story. So I'm just going to name drop all these characters as if you know who they are. And it's confident and bold and I love it.
But we did two things. One, we did get the hologram of Ezra. So there's enough exposition in him explaining that it's not like his face hasn't been seen. It's not like the concept of him hasn't been explained enough for people. Because I listened to two podcasts the past.
I still think as a casual viewer, though, I just still think that that's the people aren't going to.
But think about any like real drama, like any like really like high level writing drama, like a Sorkin script or something. There's just so much information flying at you and either you can retain it and when it comes back around, you're like, oh, it's that. Mm-hmm. Or you have to go back and rewatch to really make it all make sense. Like that's, mm-hmm. you know, like a Sorkin script is like the pinnacle of writing for most like,
right.
you know, in terms of like mainstream stuff. So, but I'm always like, what happened? What just happened in those kind of movies?
I think that's
yet
Sorkin's point.
You know, I'm watching, or same thing with Prestige TV. Like that shit happens all the time. But I was listening to The Watch, one of the Ringer podcasts, and it's high level shit. And one of the hosts was like, good for everyone who's enjoying this. Big disclaimer, like 5-minute disclaimer. Love everyone else on the network who is loving this, and you'll get their reactions and listen to those episodes. But I don't get it. I don't know what any of this is. It's not for me. And I was just like yelling into my phone, like, dude, the shit you watch is so confusing.
Yeah.
This isn't that big of a deal. Like, no one knew what the f-ing Clone Wars were in 1977 when Obi-Wan just threw that out there. No one knew what all this stuff was.
By saying that, though, I guess it's sort of like that's where my head's at with my statement is that I'm not a casual viewer. And until you said that, tonight I wasn't going, oh, but remember, there was a hollow mm-hmm. of Ezra in the first episode or second episode, whichever one that was. So there you go. That puts that together. To me, I remember that and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. They did. Fair enough. But yeah. I still think as a casual viewer, even the hollow, you're like, well, but who is that? And to retain the name from that one moment in the early, mm-hmm. in the first episode and know that, okay, Hera is talking about the kid I saw in Sabine's in the apartment. That
yeah.
My point was more to say, just, I love how committed he is to just like,
yeah,
I want to get people so excited about these characters that they'll go back and watch Rebels.
More like how much he respects the audience and doesn't feel like he needs to spoon feed everything. It's like, yeah. You guys are smart. You get it, right? You're along for the ride, right?
I just think we're in uncharted waters is kind of making a show that's so based on animated characters.
Right.
And is leaning so hard into their backstories and their relationships. This has never been done.
And Brooke, our friend Brooke McDonald over on YouTube, makes a great point in saying, how many people are going to watch Sabine with the, I can't see a thing in this thing. How am I supposed to train with this? And think of Luke instead of remembering Kanan's mask with the J-guys mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is like very a Rebels moment of him retraining himself to fight without site, right? All of these things, we've seen it before, but people are going to go, for people who maybe don't have the exposition of what Sabine has already been through, what her training has already been, it's a perfect little thing to be like, oh my gosh, it's like when Luke put on the blast shield, even though Ezra did it, Kanan did it. It's at this point, we've seen it multiple times in Star Wars. So I think it's super interesting that these crumb trails are being thrown all the way back to 1977, which is like the most Filoni thing. Even a small little detail that I saw in, when, Shin tells, Merrick to go and look around, like they're on the planet. Let's go, let's regroup. He goes, as you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
yeah,
for anyone who loves Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
no disintegrations, as you wish. Like, that's the line. That's what, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Filoni's like, I could have had him go affirmative or like, you know, agreed or whatever. But he says, as you wish. And I'm like, dude, that's a Star Wars line. That's like, that's classic yeah. Filoni right there. Just being yeah. a geek, you know? So I love that.
How does he hold all that? How does he hold all of those old memories, those moments from the past in his brain while also constantly creating new content in his brain?
We should get him on the show. We got to ask him.
We'll just ask
we
him. Gotta ask yeah. him. We'll ask him when he's on.
I want to talk hockey with him.
Yeah. When I talked to him in the airport, he seemed really down.
Yeah. He was super excited about coming on here. And I know that. I love that. So
I think that they're doing a good modern, like what they've done with Mandalorian, introducing these old school characters. Like they're towing the line of, for us, hearing Ezra and seeing Ezra in the Hollow is heavy, and we did the work to know why that's heavy. But to casual viewers, I think Ezra and Thrawn are being explained as they're the MacGuffin right now. So yeah. mm-hmm. it's just, that's the goal, you know? So like the casual fans are not getting the heaviness, and we are, and that's like the writing of these shows lately is like right on the line. Like, how do we phrase this, say this to where the casual people know, can follow what's going on, and then the other half of people are freaking the hell out. So yeah. they're doing a good job with that.
I think it's like any show that's an adaptation or a continuation of some source material where they have to toe the line, because if you don't, you're either going to completely alienate a group, they're not even going to watch, or you're going to bring those people in and just bore to death the hardcore fans and disappoint them on some level. So they're doing it well. I think they're doing it really well.
Do you think, this just popped in my head, and I mentioned this earlier on when I was kind of giving my reaction to the whole thing. Do you think there's anything deliberate with what we have coming in regards to the High Republic era and them saying, you know, the Jedi of old knew about these hyperspace lanes? Like,
for sure.
They're allowing themselves to expand the whole thing, like,
yes.
Yeah.
For new storytelling, right? I mean, that's it. The foresight with what they're doing is wild. It's really mm-hmm. wild.
And they just released an updated graphic of the timeline. Like, there's a new thing on the website that explains more specifically the eras and all that shit. So, yeah, I do 100%.
I mean, we're going to find out where, you know, where the first Jedi came from, right? I mean, that yeah. film is in the works. What if they came from another galaxy through one of these Purgle,
hell yeah, I like that.
You know, hyperspace lanes. I think that's the we're starting to expand the ideas that it's bigger than a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
it's there's more to it, and I just love it. I love that. If that's a thing, it may not be. I know we're not to speculate, or do we just speculate now? Is that okay? Seems like we do that more now. Yeah,
on paper we don't. In
right.
practice,
so we'll see how if that pans out, if that ends up panning out, the foresight there to just be like, dude, you know what we could do? We could play the way these stories are all playing into each other is, it's just like,
it's brilliant.
I don't know.
It's not for some people, but we love it.
I love it. And I agree. I think it is brilliant.
Speaking of James Mangold though, last thing, then let's get out of here. Just watched Girl Interrupted the other day for the first time with my wife who had seen it. James Mangold directed film. What a range on that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing movie. Super depressing, but amazing movie.
Great film.
From that to Logan to Indiana Jones and now this and all the other crazy stuff he's done.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Ugh.
Ford versus Ferrari. Yeah. Like, hell of a range. So I'm pumped.
Dude can pretty much do it all.
Yeah.
He can pretty just make great movies. It's amazing.
Yep. That's what I want to do. Bass is cool. Movies are cooler.
Well, it's good that Adam, at least you know that your idea, because it was your idea, is in good hands. Yeah. You know?
Appreciate all the hard work everyone's doing.
For everybody out there watching, you need just so you know, the idea to tell the story of the first Jedi belongs to Adam Russell.
No one else thought of it. It was only me.
Nope.
It was definitely not an essential legend book from 20 years ago, for sure. I know that.
All right. So like I said, we're going to do another one tomorrow. May not be all of us. It'll be some of us. It's hard to do two a week. Let's just be honest. But you know what makes it easier is patrons who help pay the bills and help make this thing happen. Patreon.com/thankthemakerpod is where you can go if you want to be one. Details at the end. Just listen during the music. I talk way too loudly about what you get as a patron.
I like it.
So everyone who's been in the stream chat hanging out with us on in the Patreon Discord, we love you. Everyone who's watching on YouTube, press subscribe. If you're listening, go to YouTube and then press subscribe.
Yes.
Thank you so much, dudes. I love you.
I know.
And until next week, what's the saying? What do they say?
I think they say, may the force be with you.
They do! If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.